Everybody, let's take a look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So remember, this is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' masterclass on the kingdom of God and life in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is primarily about living the good life, about partnering with God, experiencing God's grace and help and teaching to live a life that is good and pleasing to God and to others. In particular, Jesus has been giving practices that those who fully intend to follow his teaching can engage in that will allow them to participate in the gracious activity of God, bringing justice and rightness and goodness to the world. Towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus turns toward warning. If you don't follow my teachings, if you don't really put them into practice, there's serious consequences. And so here, Jesus enters more fully into those serious consequences. First, he says, look, there's a lot of people who say to me, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people who claim to be my students, who claim to know me, but they don't actually put my teachings into practice. They don't actually do what I say. And it's interesting because there's a couple of things he says. They do spectacular things. They say, Lord, in your name, did we not cast out demons? And they list all these activities that they participated in. And he says, yes, but I wasn't looking for particular spectacular activities so much as finding out what my Father wanted you to do and doing it. And you didn't do that. So this brings up that whole question of what is God's measure of success? Is God's measure of success spectacular miracles? Or is God's measure of success something maybe more modest and actually something that varies depending on the circumstances? Of course, this should remind us of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in which Paul says, look, you could give all your money to the poor, you can speak in the tongues of men and angels, you can work spectacular miracles, but if you don't love, it means nothing. And I think there's a similar resonance to what Jesus is saying here. But in particular, Jesus seems to be saying, look, it's not those things that really catch the attention that are what I'm interested in. It's what I've just been talking about, learning not to be anxious, learning not to be lustful, learning not to have a heart full of anger. That is what my Father's interested in. And so give yourselves to those. Of course, at the end of that, he says, I never knew you, which is this ominous statement. And of course, this calls into question, well, Jesus knows everyone. He knows everything, right? I mean, we're told that he's omniscient. Well, that's not exactly the point. The point is, we never invited him in as our teacher to look at our lives, to show us where our lives were not consistent with his teachings, and then to let him lead us in his practices and his teachings that bring life and grace and transformation. And so he says, I never knew you. You were never my student. You seemed to want to do some things that made people think you were, but you never came to me. And then Jesus gives this very famous image of two houses and building your house on the sand versus a house on the rock. I think it's important to note the immediate resonance that this would have. The temple in Jerusalem was called the house of God. Jesus said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. And so the immediate house that we're, I think, to think of is the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus is in effect saying, well, I came, and in this sermon, I'm presenting to you the sorts of activities, the sorts of characteristics of life that this house was meant to be about, and it's not. And because of that, this house is going to fall. And it does exactly that in 70 AD, because by and large, those who ran the temple were not interested in the teachings of Jesus, were not interested in putting those things into practice. Of course, it applied first to the temple, but it should now apply to churches, to families, to institutions. And the questions we must always ask are we seriously intending and trying by the grace of God to put Jesus' teachings into practice? If not, this house won't stand. And really, it shouldn't stand. I think it's important to note that in the case of both houses, the one that fell and the one that endured, storms came. That's inevitable in life. We should expect the difficult, the challenging, the destructive forces of life to rage against us. The question is, do we have the kind of life rooted in Jesus' teachings, or do we have the kind of life where we're just interested in something else? Finally, it's worth noting the astonishment of the crowds. They're just flabbergasted. This word is a really strong word. They just can't believe it. And they've never heard teaching like this. And this is what I would compare it to. Imagine somebody who is an expert in history, say, history of the English Civil War or even the American Civil War. They're an expert in history. And they know all the relevant sources and whatnot, and they give a lecture, and it's a masterful lecture. They know a lot of information about it. Then imagine that Abraham Lincoln walks into the room and says, no, that's not how it was. That's not how it happened. Or some general walks into the room and says, no, I was there, let me tell you. That's the sort of contrast that I think the gospel writers want us to see between the scribes and Pharisees and their teachings and Jesus. Jesus is an eyewitness. He is the giver. You might even say he's walking, talking Torah, teaching of God. And he comes and says, no, let me tell you how it is, and this is how life ought to be. So may we, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, be a people who seriously intend to put his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount into practice, so that when the inevitable storms of life come, the house that we live in can stand. Amen.